Welcome to the Vegan Changemaker podcast. My name is June Fuchs, and I'm on the quest to veganize over 50% of the global human population by the year of 2030. Sounds delusional? Well, obviously, I can't do it alone, and that's why in this podcast, you're getting to meet some of the most influential, inspiring, and impactful vegans there are. May this episode help you create more vegan impact in the world, because we need your help as well, dear vegan friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our team introduction series. My name is June Fuchs, and today I'm very excited to start introducing you to another member of our beautiful Freedom team. So today, who are we going to meet? We're going to meet Juan. Juan is originally from Colombia and is a candidate PhD in sustainability management in Barcelona. He became vegan in 2021 and actively participates in street level activism with the Associate Barcelona Animal Safe. Currently, he promotes the plant-based universities initiative in Catalonia. Juan believes that by influencing educational institutions to adopt and embrace plant-based food in schools and universities, we can facilitate a significant transformation in society's dietary choices, thus contributing to a more sustainable and compassionate future. He researches regenerative sustainability management and the intersection between regenerative sustainability and veganism. It's really cool to have Juan on our team. I've connected with him a little over a month ago on LinkedIn, actually, and immediately it was clear that his position in our team is the networking manager. So I'm going to bring him on in a minute that y'all can get to know him better. But before that, I want to ask you all to say hello in the comments. Let us know where you're tuning in from. Just say hi and we'll see it. If you're watching on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, or on Juan's LinkedIn, just say hello and we'll see it. And I just also want to take a moment before I bring him on to show you something really cool. We have officially launched the doors for early birds into our membership platform. If you don't know it yet, the Freedom Quest is the quest to veganize over 50% of all humans on planet Earth by 2030 for the animals, for the planet Earth, and for everybody's health and well-being. Now, our platform is designed to revolutionize vegan activism. So we have developed and are still developing courses that teach you how to become a more influential, a more impactful, and a more inspiring vegan in this world, regardless if you're already an activist, if you're a fresh vegan, or if you have been a vegan for a long time, this is the platform for you. And as you can see here on our website, there's a little video that explains you how to sign up as an early bird. And if you scroll further down, we have a little more of the explanation. It's only $8.50 for the monthly membership fee. Usually it's $34. But if you sign up today, you will have the membership access to all of our courses starting January 2024, except for two of our courses, because two of our courses are already ready. The Mental and Emotional Well-being for Vegans and Activists. That's a course that's already online. And then we have Handling Non-Vegan Objections, Ethical Brand Marketing, which are still in development. Mastering Effective Vegan Teaching and Educating, Storytelling, Public Speaker Course, The Art of Conscious Relating, which is also already ready for you if you want to sign up as an early bird, The Art of Vegan Blogging, and Energetic Empowerment for Vegans. So all of these courses will launch in January, but as I said, two of those are already available for our early bird members. And I'm seeing Miriam is joining the live stream. Hey, love. I'm seeing Pascal is tuning in. Hello, dear angel. And Fee is joining in from New Zealand. Wonderful. So without any further ado, I want to bring on our super duper networking manager, Juan. Hello, how are you? Oh, hold on. You're on mute. Let me unmute you.
Got it.
Yes, now you are unmuted.
I'm very good, thank you. Excited to be here. Yeah.
That's a very mutual feeling. We've been chatting before the live stream a little bit, and it's so cool that you're with us, actually, because like when we started connecting on LinkedIn, I immediately realized how good you are with people and with networking. And like at the beginning, you kind of tuned in and you were like, oh, I know this organization and we have to connect with these people and we have to like make collaborations there. And then you now are involved with the plant-based treaty. And I was like, he's a networker by heart. So we've got to have him in that position, right? But today I actually want to let people see a little bit more about you as a person and who you are, because all of the Freedom Team people are just such wonderful, wonderful people. So I would love to ask you to share with us a little bit about like your upbringing. Take us back to the start, story time.
Yes. A little bit of my background, as you said, I'm originally from Colombia, from Bogota, big city. So I came to Europe almost 3 years ago for the, you know, studying purposes. I was not vegan at the moment. So, you know, I arrived here and it was, first of all, beautiful city of Barcelona that welcomed me. And also this diet, right? It's very influenced by the Mediterranean diet. So you can imagine I arrived here and I was so happy with all these hams and all this stuff and the cheeses, and it's so cheap as well, right? And then it was my first years of master's program, and I met incredible people in that journey, including my best friends, one of them, Emma. And I lived with her for 2 years, and she was vegetarian when I met her. But we were living together, and then she got to know more vegan people here. There's a big community. And then she turned vegan. She became vegan. And then I was living with her, right? So we were, you know, meeting in the kitchen, sometimes cooking together. She was giving me vegan food sometimes, from time to time. And at the same time, I was starting my PhD, as you said, in sustainability and regenerative sustainability. So I got into this interesting literature, right? Because we read a lot of papers and books and that stuff, and listen to inspiring people as well. And then I was starting to questioning myself about behavior and consumption choices, right? And it's interesting, and I'm going to link it a little bit with regeneration, because regenerative sustainability, one of the principles of it, it says, we try to reconnect with nature, right? It's another paradigm. It's another way of we seeing the world and reconnecting with nature. We have to remember we are nature, right? We are animals as well. So I started reading this and I started questioning, it says, well, one of the principles is we need to find mutually beneficial relationships with the natural environment and other animal species. And that really marked me, and I was like, okay, how mutually beneficial is our relationship with other non-human animals if we are eating them, right? And I just kept that question in my mind, and later Emma asked me like, well, love, but you're researching about sustainability, right? And how can you, like, without criticizing, right? Because I also believe, like, respecting tolerance and respecting the diverse viewpoints, it's important. And then she asked me, like, why are you consuming animals if you are a sustainable leader and sustainable researcher? And that really, you know, it was very impactful for me, because, of course, it was, like, you know, touching my wound. And I was like, yeah, of course, I thought about it. So once that happened, like the next week, I was vegan. So it was a very complete, like a big switch, and also it was with a salmon. Actually, a friend invited me to have the dinner, and I remember, like, you know, having this in my mind all the time. when you just start realizing you need to change something, and I remember, like, he was packaging this salmon, and I just thought about the face of a salmon. Like, nobody thinks about a fish, and fish is the most killed animal on earth. We kill trillions of fishes every year, but we never think about these animals that are sentimental, sociable, that are beautiful, and that play an important role in this web of life in this planet. So that was a little bit of my journey, how I became vegan, right? It was a little bit of self-reflection. It was also about becoming conscious about reality of sustainability issues and the problems we're facing with the environment. and also like awareness from the vegan community. So I was veganized somehow with my because of friends. So yeah, it's a little bit of my story. And well, since then, that was 2 years ago. And yeah, that's a little bit of it.
That's so cool that Anna did that for you or with you. Because I remember I had a similar situation with a friend of mine who was like, you want to live more organically, you want to live more healthy, you want to live more ethically, but like, have you considered? And I was like, I have not, leave me alone. And then a couple of months later, I walked into a cinema and I watched a movie with him and walked out as a vegan, you know? So yeah, I can relate to those friends.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, I think it's also departing from, as I mentioned, respect, and because of course, like to elevate the consciousness of somebody to understand these things, it's a complex thing, and sometimes and I was at the beginning very judgmental. I was you know, when I started, because I think it activism also starts from that very first moment you are. You become vegan, you're making a statement, and it doesn't matter if you're, for example, in a restaurant and you order something or you ask for something, you're doing somehow activism, because it's, you know, it's trying to change something, the status quo, is raising the voice, making a change. So at the beginning, I was kind of judgmental, and why did you do this, or how can you be sustainable if you do this, or even with co-workers nowadays in academia, if you see that, I just know two vegan researchers in sustainability. And these are very smart people, and they know what's the issue. But then you have to, yeah, exactly, like step by step, and create awareness in between communities. And that's it. Yeah, a little bit of the story.
I remember we talked about this in person, that you have like one teacher, and how did you describe her? She was like very like queer and pink hair and vegan as well, right? Like very fabulous person. And it just popped in my mind. It was like, there's, and we talked about this, there are so many teachers out there that are studying this, you know, the solutions, but the biggest way to move towards the solution is promoting veganism, promoting more animal and environmentally friendly way of eating. And so what's your experience like with the teachers there? Like her, obviously she gets it and she understands that that's the most important thing and she lives it. But like the other teachers there, what's your experience with them? On your WhatsApp, you have like a picture of yourself where you're at a protest, right? And you say something like about on the board, it says, how can you be an environmentalist and eat animals? It's impossible, or something like that. So what's your experience with those teachers there that aren't vegan?
Yeah. So that's very interesting. So the first vegan, I'm going to mention that the story with these two I know so far. So if there is another researcher, professor, whatever person in this world of academia out there, reach me out, because I've been thinking about creating like a research vegan community. But it was like a year ago. So I was in Vienna in a conference with this in the sustainability track, of course. And there was this guy from Brazil, I think. He was presenting his work about, you know, sustainable like supply chain, something like that. And then he was saying, oh, well, and with this, like we can improve the quality of soil and restore some ecosystems, and then produce food in a more sustainable way, so we can feed more people and we can generate positive impact and blah, blah, blah. But then I raised my hand and I asked him, like, why are you claiming that we can, like, how are you ensuring we can feed more people through these things? And I think, like we already produce the sufficient amount of food to feed everyone in this planet. There are more than 800 million people dying like in starvation right now. Why are we proposing new things to solve the issue that it could be easily solved with, you know, changing some things in the dynamics that we have developed around the food system? So when I did that, and I was like, for example, your country, I was from Brazil, your country already produces the amount of soy, that we can feed all the planet. It's a big, it's huge. Brazil is a superpower nation in terms of resources, land, everything, biodiversity. And then, like, he was shocked, of course. And then another professor raised his hand. I really admire him. His name is Giuseppe Del Mestri. He's in Vienna, and he was like, "Yeah, I agree with you." And then we had a coffee time, and then he approached me and he was like, "Oh, I really appreciate your point. It's very important to create this awareness. I've been vegan for a long time," and I was, "Wow!" And he's an old professor, and he was like, "For me, it's been hard, you know, to be vegan in this community and for a long, long time." And he inspired me, and he told me, "Yeah, like this is you will face this a lot of times. There will be people in sustainability telling things, and you know that the root cause of unsustainable development is food system and it's animal farming. But you have to be cautious, patient, and also try to educate others through more let's say peaceful and reconnecting in a way to reconnect with others as well." So. Sometimes, yeah. But well, that was Giuseppe's experience, and we're still in contact. We are looking forward to research on veganism, so we have nice ideas and exchange information. He's very nice. I'm meeting him next month in Italy, and then it's Rita Mota, and I really the girl that you mentioned. She changed her hair, so she had pink last month. Now she's blue, and. And she's vegan for a long, long time as well. And she's in my community. So she works with me at my uni. We are the only two vegan professors that we know. And we have faced a lot of issues in school in terms of the cafeteria. So every day, like it's somehow, it's a pain in the ass. It's very annoying, frustrating as well, you know, because you know, the Spanish cuisine is very rich, right? They have a lot of flavors, they have a lot of things, the paella and that stuff. So we arrived there and there they have five options of meats, you know, plus the grill that has all animals you want. And then you have the salads, but God, they put like cream on the salad, tuna in the salad, honey. So basically, you just have the baked veggies that they always have, potatoes, and these vegan burgers I've been eating for 2 years. The same vegan burgers. Oh, hold on. They added the tofu that is like the plain tofu, white tofu. They grill you the tofu. And
wow.
So we're very frustrated. Like, and it's somehow it's unfair somehow that you cannot get the nutritional values you need in your school. So we were like, we have been very, feeling uncomfortable. And also that's why from that discomfort is how I got involved into the plant-based universities initiative. And that's why I started to think, you know, it's a, educational institutions have a purpose not only for individuals, right? Because you go there, you get a degree, you meet people, okay, nice. But it's also, they have a role in society because they are institutions. And institutions, they deliver and promote certain values, right? Values, beliefs, ways of thinking, right? So they are safe spaces. They are safe spaces to debate, right? To diverge in ideas. So I think these are very important points. You know, spaces to also create awareness and create social change. Definitely, we have seen revolution. You know, with racism in history. Like this movement starts from universities, right? With the rights, women's rights. And all this stuff. So why not to start to veganize from schools, from universities? And we have been talking with Rita, right? And how to design the strategy and veganizing our school. And we were thinking, well, we don't want, because it's a very sensitive, you know, thing, like telling people, okay, we're going to change your diet. But we thought, okay, we don't want people to think that we are telling them to become vegan at first point. Right? We are just saying we are going to change the school's offerings in terms of foods. You come here and you know you're going to find vegan options, plant-based foods here. That's it. But from there, the for sure, that's our idea, our goal, to start changing the mindset, to start, you know, creating this awareness of the importance and how incredible it is to eat vegan food and how delicious it could be and how fun and colorful. And then you see it's impactful for the environment, for your health, as you were mentioning at the beginning.
That's an interesting point you just brought up, how environmentally friendly it is. Because yesterday I was talking to a friend and we talked about the same thing, and she's doing caterings and she doesn't call them vegan caterings, but she calls them environmentally friendly caterings. And obviously it's all vegan, but like her business is running well with that, much better than any business that is promoting vegan catering. So that just crossed my mind as you said that you're working on that together with Rita as well. Oh, she seems to be so cool.
Yeah, she is. She's also heard this life later. Because also there's a lot of stigma, you know, and there's people like, oh, but it's vegan, you know. So it's also, we need to take like baby steps in this journey together. We from the Vegan Freedom Quest and as well as the initiatives we develop. Because, for example, a friend, she was in Netherlands and she told me she went to this restaurant and never in the restaurant, not outside, neither in the menus, it said something vegan. It's something like the Foods of the Future or something was the name of this restaurant. And then and they never mentioned any, they wouldn't tell you, oh, this is vegan or this is nothing. So to break these boundaries, right? So many people probably were going there and they're just questioning, oh, is this vegan or not? So because there is this, unfortunately, this stigma or rejection to what vegan could embrace or not or could mean to other people. So we're working on that. This also starts with creating a coalition, right? We need to create awareness and coalition and start touching people that would be more sensible to these type of changes and who probably more approachable. So yesterday, actually, I had the opportunity to talk to my research group. So I presented my research and it was very interesting. But also...
Yeah,
I was a little bit nervous, very nervous, but it went good. Hopefully, yeah, good work. But by the end, I said, I wanted to share something. I was so nervous, you know. And I started showing like some images of the climate change thing. And I was like, well, a big issue of the environmental crisis right now is related to animal farming. And I'm not saying this. It's the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. It's the United Nations Environmental Program. It's the Lancet Committee. So like the big voices in science are saying that animal farming is one of the major causes of climate change, of biodiversity loss, of habitat loss. That's the big cow in the room, right? It's the big cow in the room, our consumption choices and animal farming. So I was kind of friendly, like, I think we all believe this could be a solution. I'm inviting you to support the Plant-Based University Campus. We are launching very soon at my school in the ESADE Business School in Barcelona as an experiment, we said, with the Plant-Based 3D Barcelona. We said, okay, this is one of our experiments. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how we develop this initiative. We have support from private organizations, from other non-profit organizations. So the idea is to bring collaborators to veganize and to create awareness. So yesterday I was creating this very first awareness, and of course people were like shocked, like, okay, what's going on? But not much responses, not much feedback on that. Just by at lunch, one of the professors told me like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to get chicken today now that I can, after probably I want to have chicken in the offer. But yeah, that's it. That's somehow the efforts we are developing and how we are trying to push change, at least from schools, and let's see.
It's such a smart approach. It's so smart, you know. And I remember the first time we spoke, that was the feeling I got. I was like, he's really accessing via a very very important route, right? So vegan activism has all of these facets. And as we've seen in the beginning, we're developing with the Freedom Quest all of these courses to help you, for example, develop your public speaking skills that you can present, like Juan, yes, being nervous, but still owning the stage, standing there and sharing what needs to be shared. Like the approaches that you take. And after having a couple of conversations with you, I realized, as I said before, like the way you network and the way you see how like pieces, organizations, and people need to be tied in together, it inspired me a lot. So I said, I would love to have you on our team and have you as a networking manager, right? To operate like that and to bring in your mind who thinks in that network so well. Do you want to share with us a little bit like what your experience has been with the Freedom Quest coming in, right? Like, because honestly, you bring so much to the table. We've talked about it. I took notes. Like, we could talk for hours about the research that you're doing, about the, you know, the projects that you're involved in. It's a lot. Like the Plant-Based Treaty Initiative is just one of those that you're involved in. The Plant-Based Campus, like bringing vegan food to the campuses and to the schools. Environmental impact of agricultural systems. We talked about that. I think this will blow the format of our live stream today. But what I would love to know is like, what pulled you in and what's been your experience with coming into the Freedom Quest and bringing in your uniqueness and your skills into our team? Well, how has that been like for you?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And now, like my, you mentioned your approach and how your perception of me when we met. And I was like, how I got to you, that's another question. Because I was the one who reached out. and it was because somehow I as you mentioned, I've been in a street activism, street level activism. So there, you know, you develop some skills and you know how it works and you know how people are going to look at you and you know many things and what could happen out there in the street. But when I started these engaging into these new initiatives, it was also a moment for me that like somehow I felt not lost, but unskilled or not very sure about what path to take. And then suddenly I came across with your LinkedIn profile and I was like, oh, what does this guy do? What is the Freedom Quest? And then I found out, wow, this is amazing. This is basically somehow what I need, you know, if I want to become a vegan activist at different level or to find different skills. It doesn't like I didn't find in the Freedom Quest like, okay, there is a course on how to do activisms in schools. No, but this could be a very nice course. But it's more like, finding some skills and some people and that's how I got in love with the Freedom Quest. And of course, seeing that it's such a diverse and beautiful team from all around the world. And, you know, it's diversity is out there. We have diversity in everything in the team, I think, but most beautiful thing is the purpose. So, when you have this beautiful purpose that is not only, as you mentioned, for our health, for all the environment, all these things I was talking about, but for the animals and for our own future, and having this goal in mind, I think that's what drives us every day to put our little contribution or as whatever we can do, and I think that's the most beautiful thing in the team, and as well as the project. So we do believe in this change. And so I think that's the most valuable thing I found. And now still, you know, we're working on how can we contribute or what the pieces, how can we potentialize something. So I think it's also part of the journey and it's related to regenerative sustainability because it's not the end, right? It's about also the journey. So the end is out there. We want to veganize 50% of the population, the whole population, I want to...
all of them.
All of them. But it's these baby steps. And if we take all this journey, it's about the journey and the beautiful things we can learn from each other, but also from people that are joining our community. And that's something I want to highlight because this is not a platform where you're going to, you'll be instructed for, yeah, you have now take this and process it, eat it, and go. No, this is not the linear consumption way of buying, using, disposing, and this is not a platform where you can just come in, learn, buy, but it opens the door to stay in, to stay tuned, to meet more beautiful people, not only the team, but imagine all these amazing and diverse people that we join our community, that we can learn from them, of course, because it's a sharing experience thing, and the idea is to enrich our skills from both sides, and again, the same purpose. So yeah, that's a little bit of from my perspective from the Freedom Quest. Also inviting a lot of people to join, a lot of people to become vegan, and to stay tuned with us.
I'm so intrigued that you say that, because I'm not a researcher, right? But I did do a lot of research before bringing up the Freedom Quest and launching the platform and getting you all and you, Juan, and the team together. And one thing that I figured is over the last 10 years, veganism has experienced an exponential growth, right? So it wasn't linear, it was exponential. And so I with my best math, I calculated, okay, if we could push that a little more through educating vegans into becoming really impactful change makers, which doesn't mean they have all to be on the streets. You know, we now see how you are impacting people and inspiring people to go vegan. There's so many approaches. So I kind of went like, how can we like boost this exponential curve a little more? And can we make it to the next 10 or 15 years? And then 2030 was the year that kind of came out of that calculation. And obviously with a pinch of optimism, but still, it was like, it's actually based on a calculation that I've set this goal. And it's cool because I think having done that and having like this, let's call it rather profound research on how the vegan growth has developed over the last 10 years and can develop over the next 10 years has attracted people that are really like understanding that it's possible, like yourself. And I'm like, I'm talking to such smart people. I'm like, this is so, so cool, right? Yeah, I mean, we've interviewed some more of the team members. It's all on our website. Everybody who's watching, you can go check it out on thefreedomquest.com. And then you have a team section where you can go through all of our team. Juan is on it as well. And then you have a button. I can show it to you all actually real quick before.
Yes, that's the courses
page. And then we have the team page. If you open the team page, and you scroll down, you'll meet all of these beautiful people that are in our team. And Will and Regula, there's much more. So you can scroll down. And if you click on the More About button, you'll be sent directly, still on our website, to an interview like this one that we're doing right here, where you can watch the interview or you can listen to it on our podcast and you can read more and connect with the person, right? Yes. So that also counts for you, Juan. I've linked all of your links on our website as well after this live stream. Networking. I want to talk a little bit more about networking before we bring closure to our interview, because I know you have to go and you have another call, a very important one after this, in like 20 minutes. So we're not gonna do that much longer. But one thing that I'm really interested in, and we've talked about this already, is like, how can we tie in? And not only you and I, but like with the complete team, is like, how does the Freedom Quest fit in to our vegan community? Because we know there's a lot of amazing initiatives in the vegan space. There's Veganuary, there's the Plant-Based Treaty, right? And there's many, many more that are helping people, A, to go vegan, B, inspire plant-based foods, C, make vegans become a bit more balanced in their own state of mind. We did it. Health, for example, is having a scoreboard where people can, that are vegan already, can put in the health benefits they received, and then that's listed on their scoreboard. And then you can see how many people have transitioned to vegan and what health benefits they have. So there's a lot of things existing already. And with the Freedom Quest, I always felt like I don't want to add more to it. Like if I would want to have Plant-Based Treaty grow, I would go and work with them, right? But then the Freedom Quest is something that it doesn't really exist. And the idea was born by looking at Mindvalley and Gaia, which both are, they're great platforms, but they don't talk about plant-based foods. They don't talk about veganism. They don't really talk about the link between environmentalism and veganism. They don't. And I didn't like that. So I said, we got to create something that helps vegans educate themselves better and elevate their impact, be part of an irresistible community. As you said it before, all of us beautiful, lovely, colorful, diverse people. And the whole networking thing. So you have your feet and your hands in so many organizations. And I would love to hear from your perspective, now knowing the Freedom Quest a little bit better and deeper as you're a member of our team, how do you work on getting us in touch with those people? Probably you have already mentioned the Freedom Quest to some of your folks, some of your tribe. How did you spread the word so far, and what possibility do you see for the Freedom Quest in the years ahead of time?
In the organizations, for example, there's always this question of, what do you offer, or what can I learn? And it's also, I would say, challenging for me, right? in my position now, because of course these are very experienced people. So many of them have been field and been activists for a long, long time. But there is always something to learn. That's what I always say. And there is always, and I think that something that differentiates or makes the Freedom Quest unique is the opportunity to also reconnect with yourself, because sometimes we could be out there in doing activism and, bringing all these claims that we fight for, putting them on the front of our activism. But I think what could potentialize much more, could elevate our activism actions, is how you, through these offerings that we have, reconnect all those things, to make it a more coherent narrative, and reconnect yourself with your purpose, with your cause, and also with more people around that are doing different stuff. So when I'm connecting, and of course, each organization has a different viewpoints to veganism. For example, I've been talking to Barcelona Animal Safe Movement, and Animal Safe Movement, it's focused on animals. So it's about, what can we offer from the animals, right? So I think it's also here is the business face of me. It's just about how you can channel, talk to different audiences, depending on how you can empathize with different people from their viewpoints, right? So for example, if I'm talking to the Animal Safe Movement, this is what we think about animals, and this is how we can find synergies, or how you can gain some skills related to your purpose of the animal. But some of them might be more interested on what you were saying, on mindfulness, or a personal growth, and how this can earn, how can they be empowered to spread the vegan action within their families. So now this might be good for you, and we have it. Or I think that's the thing, how to empathize with other people and what they are, what's their purpose, and how did they become vegan. So the first thing is being a listener, right? And also with the organizations as well. And I don't know, plant-based treaty, not much. I've been recently in contact with them. But for example, with the plant-based universities initiative, right? We're looking at these type of skills. What this is what we have, or this is what we can build, right? But again, the same purpose. So the purpose is there, but it has different phases. And this is also what we'll have to put in practice later when we try to reach, private organizations, companies, leaders, the vegan leaders that are out there, because they also have a different purpose, a different mindset, and they want to be empowered through different means, right? It depends also what they do. So if they want to transmit these values to their products, how we can improve that, or what do you need to learn? It's also, and I think this is beautiful about this part of the Freedom Quest, is that we are setting the foundations of a big platform, of a big impact. So it's a good moment also to adjust our strategies, our with what people want, with what people need, with what people find more valuable to keep veganizing. So that's it. That's somehow the work as well to bring these inputs.
Yeah, the cool thing about this as well is, like, since you're bringing in these links to these different organizations, right, and you are having this ability to emphasize and see where there is synergy. And you said in the beginning, the Freedom Quest is not a platform that is created and then you come in and you walk through courses and then you leave again. No, it's also a development platform, and it will always be an organic body, which is why this collaboration between the organizations you just mentioned and us can develop as we develop. So when you're coming in and you're telling me, right, as the networking manager, you're like, we have this organization, I'm analyzing them, I'm getting to know them, we're getting to, you know, understand each other. And then we can start reacting to their needs because we have the high quality trainings that their company or their organization might need, or at least we have the trainers. And then we get one of our trainers at work to develop a curriculum and publish a course couple of months after we initially engaged with that organization. And then that organization can strategically collaborate with the Freedom Quest, that we both have, you know, something of that deal, that we can merge our communities, and that their community can be amplified through the Freedom Quest, and we can be amplified through receiving people and building our community further. So that's the really cool part about this. And that's why I love that you see these synergies, you know. Because, like, I can see that too, but that's just not my game. And we have nobody in our team who is so, like, has their hands so deep into the researching part of it, right? And that's also another skill that we haven't really talked about. You're a phenomenal researcher. So everything that you present and that you share is backed by, like, potent research. And everybody who's watching right now, in the future, you're going to see more of Juan as well. As well as everybody in the Freedom team, right? Because you mentioned it before. There will be a course. It's just in your mind right now, but you voiced it before. And I see that course happening for us. A course on when you succeed, you know, with the project to bring more plant-based foods to campuses and to schools. Then you can start teaching how to do that. What's the approach to bring that in? And that will be a course that we can provide in the Freedom Quest. So that's how we organically grow and develop, because we see what's needed and we test what's needed in the market, right?
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Well, I want to thank you so much, because you have to leave soon, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Whenever you want, I have a few more minutes. It's fine, but as you find it.
I mean, I want to ask all the people watching, listening, recording, the Facebook people aren't shown on StreamYard somehow. I see Jasna is with us on Facebook. Just opening Facebook, by the way. If you have any questions for Juan, please throw them in the chat, in the comments. If you have anything you want to add, any train of thought, Regula is still here. I think Pascal is here. Fee, if you're still here, Miriam, anything that you want to add, please share it with us. We're here for a couple more minutes, especially Juan with his wisdom. And yes. I want to highlight one more time that the early bird price is up until January 2024. So before our launch, you can sign up to our platform, receive access to two of the 9 courses we're currently developing for only $8.50 a month. We've already had some signups over the past week. We just recently started promoting the early bird signups. So we're very excited to welcome those new members into our membership platform and have them walk through the courses. Legula says, thank you so much. Pascal says, lovely souls. Love you guys.
Thank you, girls.
Love you too. So sweet. Yes. So sweet. Well, I think there's not many other questions coming up. Jasna says, an amazing and very inspiring interview, dear Juan.
Thank you. Hugs to you.
Hugs to everyone.
To everyone. Yes.
Is there any last words that you feel intuitively you want to share with our audience, share with our future community platform members?
Yeah, a huge hug. Thank you for being here, for listening. And yeah, willing to work together with the team of Freedom Quest. Huge hug to all of you and to all vegan and non-vegan people that are out there, that we love you and that we're working for the same purpose for our own future and for the animals. So yeah, thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Juan, for being here with us. You're amazing, and I'm very grateful to have you in our team. And same counts for all of our other team members.
Thanks for bringing me. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for watching this live stream once more. Please like it, subscribe to our YouTube or wherever the heck you're watching this. Just stay in touch with us. If you're interested in the early bird offer, I want to highlight it once more for you to see where you're going. So if you are going, oh, there you go again. Hey, Juan, it just popped you back in. So if you go to our website, www.thefreedomquest.com, there's a short video that explains to you how to sign up in case you can't manage yourself. Sometimes that has happened, but if you scroll further down on our website, you have this button here, the early bird sign up button. If you click on that button, let's see what happens in my case, because I'm already signed up. Yeah, in my case, I immediately access the community and the product space of it, which looks like this, by the way. So Stefan already signed up. He joined us at Equalize with us. I've made a welcome post in here. You can see the members that already have signed up to the community. And then on the top right corner, you have products, which is where you can access all of the courses that we already currently have ready for you. And the ones that aren't ready, you see it here. They're available January 1st. So you can stick around in our community, take the courses that are already available if you sign up today, and just be part of our tribe, you know, be part of our beautiful, beautiful tribe. So if you have any questions around that, just put them in the comments. And that was it for today. So much love to you all. Mwah.